Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
I played the song Fly Away just to sort of subtly introduce the theme that we're going to be talking about, which is the airline industry.
Clever.
I know, very, very crafty as well. To give us a sense, I mean, that this is an industry that must be suffering a lot more than normal.
Yeah, so you know, it's so interesting because, I mean, if you look at what's going on globally, obviously we know there's been a massive cut in travel because people aren't traveling because of COVID. So the industry in general, let's just give you a quick overview of the airline industry. So between 2009 and 2019, revenue in the global aviation industry grew at a compound annual growth rate of about 5.3% a year, right? Which basically means that that in 2019, the airline industry was $838 billion. Okay, so it was growing continuously. Mm. Obviously, with the hit of COVID, it came down to $686 billion, which I think is actually still quite substantial. So it shows that there was a massive slowdown, but there is still activity happening. And I think if we look at what's happened globally over sort of the spread of COVID and the first wave and the second wave, countries were opening up, then they were closing down, then they were opening up, then they were closing down. So there definitely has still been air travel and people have still been traveling for business. So it's not dead. It's just severely like impacted at the moment. But what's interesting is the reactions across the world, and in fact, which is to me the most interesting, is obviously now this is Thanksgiving week in the US, which is like one of the biggest holidays, and the Center for Disease Control in the States came out with a warning to actually say, you know what, the numbers in America are absolutely crazy. They're almost 12 million infections, and almost 200,000 new cases a day, and people are urged to stay home and not travel for the holidays. And for them to issue a warning is quite a big thing because they've been a bit quiet. And still, over a million Americans took to the skies and did not cancel their trips on the Thursday and Friday, which is only half of the amount of people flying from the previous year, but it's still a lot of people.
A million people is a lot of people moving from one area to another where you could take the illness with you. So it really can have
Absolutely.
A massive impact. But it's also, I would imagine, and we were chatting to Dr. Anton Marburg about it, is this pandemic fatigue. People have just had enough.
Yeah.
And now they're saying, you know what, Thanksgiving, we spend it with family every year. We haven't seen family for 8 or 9 months. We're going. And maybe we'll just take our chances.
Yeah, and that, I think that's exactly where we are. Because, I mean, if you think about it, I mean, the numbers in the States are absolutely astounding. And the new daily infections and the fact that they're going into winter is crazy. And it would make you think, you know, I'm not going to travel. But people are saying, and even the health organization, they're saying that they're not really worried about the travel. It's about spreading when you get to your destination. Mm-hmm. So with family and all of that, so people are together, they're not wearing masks, and that is where they say the concern comes. But interestingly enough, it's not about being in the plane. So this is also what we're looking at. If you look at the full global industry of airlines, etc., at the moment, we've seen a very big shift. So, you know, like Qatar Airlines and Emirates and all of that, we're always emphasizing before in all their marketing, it was how luxurious and your leg room and the services that you get on board. Mm-hmm. And now every single airline has done a flip and they are focused completely on safety. They focused on the COVID procedures and they want their clients to feel that and the customers to feel that, that's a safe environment for them. And then not only that, they're also changing their cancellation policies. So even in the States, most airlines, where they normally have, you know, whatever, you have to pay whatever penalties, whatever for canceling, now literally you can cancel on the day of your flight and there are no penalties. You can just rebook. So they've had to really, really adjust their marketing strategies, how they're branding, how they're positioning themselves, which is very interesting. So, and also, like, you know, you used to see all those pictures of all the glamorous air hostesses in their fancy outfits and beautiful lipstick and makeup. Now, when you go into any single website of any single airline across the world, you'll see the air hostesses with their masks, with their gloves, because they want you to see that they've taken precautions. So it's very interesting, that shift.
In fact, flies... FlySaf, I think, got into trouble a few weeks ago because they had an advert that had people sort of gathering and not socially distancing, which I thought was so mm-hmm. interesting, because it's almost like we are just not allowed to portray life in that way at the moment.
No, you're not, because it's actually seen as irresponsible. Mm. So again, this is the question with the airlines and where their marketing is should they even be advertising? Should they be promoting people be traveling? So it's a very, very interesting question. And there's also surveys done on leaving seats out in between. So a lot of the US airlines as well are leaving seats out. But if you look in South Africa, apparently, I haven't traveled, but apparently they're not leaving seats in between passengers. So you literally could be sitting next to a stranger who may have the disease or whatever, and you actually don't know.
Madeline says, does Dina happen to know what's happening with unused LL tickets? I know that LL's also got a policy around this, that if you book now, it's exactly as Dina says, you can change. You just have to talk to each airline. I think each airline has a way that they are dealing with this, because they're fully aware that they, you know, look, there's been a certain arrogance with regard to airlines and airline tickets and bookings. It's this opaque, very vague system of rules that we never really understood. You know, you want to change your flight 3 hours earlier just because you get to the airport, and that's going to cost you another few thousand rand for the privilege. But if they want to move you because the latter flight is full, then they do it. It's very, very...
Absolutely.
It's been just a little bit... problematic in the way they've dealt with it until now. And what's interesting is the only way now that they will be able to get people to have the confidence of booking is if they waive the sort of nonsense and say, okay, you'll be able to change it. And I see that that's one of the policies of the new airline in South Africa, Lyft. We spoke to Gideon Novick last week, and that is one of their things where I think it says like something about want to change, no problem, something like that's actually now built in into their strategy.
Absolutely. So I actually love, and as you have brought others up, so yes, we can look at the global industry and we can look at South Africa as well. So absolutely. So where Lyft is so clever, and where Gideon, because Gideon's like, he's a master of this industry. He's been around for a long time. He literally was the success of Kalula. So what he's done is gone, it says introducing flexible air travel, and it says change, cancel, no problem. Because
so interesting.
Historically, that's been the biggest problem.
I looked at it maybe 10 days ago before the interview, and what I remembered in my mind was this. This was what stuck with me as a potential consumer, was no problem. That was the, you know, if I wanted to change, no problem. And that makes it a very, very smart strategy.
Absolutely. So, you know, you also got to come in, when you're coming in as a new airline, you have to say, well, in any new product, you have to say, what is your unique selling proposition? How do I differentiate myself from my competitors? So number one, they've come in as yellow. There's no yellow airline. So color has an important role to play. And I love its lift, its light, and yellow talks to that and all of, so I think it's very, very clever how they've put this all together. And they have come up, especially I think launching in a time of COVID, they must have sat down and said, okay, what is important to our consumers at the moment? What will make people fly with us? And being flexible and being able to change and cancel, because no one knows what tomorrow will bring. We literally never know. Globally, you've seen what's going on. No one knows when they're going into lockdown. They don't know when they're coming out of lockdown. Things could change overnight, and they have over the last year. So I think you have to be able to read the market. You have to be able to read the consumer. And the airlines are trying to do that. And that's why they've all shifted their strategy, because you're not going to fly on an airline where you don't feel safe, or where you feel like your safety is compromised or your health is compromised. And they're also pushing these, what they call the HEPA filters. So the high efficiency particulate air filters. See, I got that out. Which actually remove 99.97% of viral and bacterial contaminants. So the all new airlines and aircraft are actually fitted with these filters. So being on the plane, as long as you're responsible and you've got your mask, they're saying isn't as dangerous. It's like being in any sort of relatively confined space. You've just got to be careful in the airport, what you touch, your hands, all of those things, and keep washing, etc.
Melinda says travel consultants are mostly all employed without a salary, but airports are full. It definitely does look like there's going to be a complete shake-up of the entire industry. It's not going to look the same when all of this settles.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, and even if you look at the spend that airlines, so like historically, travel was one of the highest spends. Travel and automotive, ironically, are the highest spends on digital advertising across the world in different markets, etc. And all of those particular spends have tanked completely. They're down almost all of them, over 50%. So it's actually interesting. So that even the airlines are not advertising, because these people are going to travel. They don't need to be enticed to travel. They're actually just going to travel. So, but when you do want to travel, you want to know that whoever you're flying with has taken the right precautions. So you're right. There's a complete movement and shift in the branding, in the positioning, in the spend on advertising and on consumers, the way they approach it. So there is going to be a complete shakedown. I mean, we've seen airlines go out of business. I mean, SAA, I mean, that had issues way before COVID. But we are definitely seeing the shakeup. But it did also offer the opportunity now, especially with SAA going out of business, for a newcomer like Lyft to get into the market. But because of the uncertainty, the strategy of Lyft is also so clever. So they literally only have 3 aircraft. So they've launched a whole airline with 3 aircraft. Why? Because they don't know what the future looks like, but they do know that the routes that they have chosen, the Joburg, Cape Town, George, are routes that will be traveled all the time. They're safe routes, whether you're going for business or especially now of the holiday period. And they've got a calculated risk, and they've got a very, very clever business model.
What's also interesting to me is there's been a lot of talk around Kalula when you can book again. People are booking, but we haven't seen much in terms of marketing getting them back to front of mind.
Yeah, so I think what they have done is they've sent out direct marketing. So they've sent out SMSs, emails to people who obviously booked with them historically. But you're right, they haven't gone on a mass campaign. And I think obviously part of it again is issues with COVID and should you be promoting it, but it's also spend. Do they even have the budget to spend? But it's not like they're not getting it, because people who historically booked with Kalula will book again, especially if you get your flight discounts and stuff.
Their brand loyalty is actually quite incredible. I mean, I can't tell you how many people, and this is obviously anecdotal, it's not based on anything other than discussions, but so many friends were saying, we're just waiting for Kalula to release their flights and we'll book, as though there weren't other options.
I have to tell
options.
You, I was one of those.
But isn't that interesting? Now, yes, it's about maybe the smart combination of Discovery, Vitality and Kalula, but it's also about, well, this is how we fly and this is where we go. Mm-hmm. So it's very interesting that there is this brand loyalty, and it's something that is quite present.
No, absolutely. And again, because they've proven themselves historically as a responsible airline, as a reliable airline, and where you actually do get that value for money. Whereas now, if you look at previously before Kalula started, well, actually they haven't started flying yet, but only like SAF Air was in the market, and there's Mango, which is a bit contentious because it's obviously, I think, part of SAA. Mm. So you're actually thinking, well, what are my real options in terms of flying? And that's again, if you choose to fly. I in the beginning was not going to fly. I thought, no, we should drive. And there was a whole bunch of other complexities, but actually flying is much easier. You just have to be responsible, and you have to know that you're going to go with a carrier that's not going to cancel your trip last minute. And people see Kalula, I think, as a reliable airline, as one that will get you from A to B in a responsible manner. I think that's where their brand loyalty comes in.
The other thing that I've also noticed is, again, anecdotally, is a lot more people are driving down. I can see this by whether they're going to Cape Town, Plett, Umhlanga, which are the sort of the popular areas this time of year. I've noticed that, and a lot of people have been asking me for recommendations of where to stay at various places, either on the way to Plett or Cape Town, because we always drive. We particularly enjoy the drive and stopping in different places and enjoying the Karoo. It's incredible. But what I've noticed is that a lot of these places are full. Whereas in the past, if we decided 3 days before that that's when we were going, it would be very, very easy to be able to find a place. But at the moment, everything is full. Unsigned says the ComAir policy on COVID refund 4 to 5 months. It's disgusting. I won't use them again, and that is via Discovery Booking. That's unsigned. So that's interesting. That is
But listen, we have to look at where they've come from, right? So ComAir, I mean, obviously Kalula is part of ComAir, and they literally went into business rescue. So it's an anomaly. It's not that they actually just decided, you know, we're going out of business, we're not giving anyone a refund. They went into actual business rescue, and it was actually an entire management buyout, and there's an entire structure that happened there. So it isn't just sort of run-of-the-mill business. It wasn't just an airline that was running, and then it was perfect, and then it just went off and then came back. It literally went through an entire process of a management change, of a structural change in the business. So I do understand frustrations and not getting refunds back. But with that being said, can you still get value from that as an airline versus another airline? And do you think you'll get a better flight and the same service and reliability? So you have to sort of weigh up your own sort of pros and cons. But it was an entire restructure of an entire airline.
Madeleine says, I'm unable to get hold of LL. Madeleine, we're going to see if we can do that for you, because these are actually very, very, these are important things. Unsigned again says, they've held my money for over a year. So, there's almost an expectation, rightfully so, that consumers are saying, we actually expect you to be better. You know, we've handled it until now, and we've accepted, as I said earlier, all of this nonsense about vague and opaque rules that we could never really understand, where cancellation or change fees would go through the roof, and then you booked on that class, and now you could only get a ticket on another class, even though it's the same seat. There was an absurdity around it. I think that consumers now, for the first time, are saying, actually, we've got choices, and we expect something different if we're going to support.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think a lot of also the airlines and even the travel agencies, even the travel agencies people booked through were going to the travel agencies and saying, oh, you need to give me a refund. But the travel agencies couldn't give the refund because the airlines weren't giving the refund.
No,
and the airlines weren't giving
the
refund because they were holding on to the cash so they would stay afloat.
Well, as Melinda, one of our listeners, said earlier, the travel agencies or travel consultants have been massive victims in this whole thing. Dina Diamond, we unfortunately do have to leave it there. Really a fascinating and very important conversation. And I thank you for having it with us.